It's Wednesday, August 14th, and this is VOA's International Edition. I'm David Byrd in Washington. Coming up, more protests rock Hong Kong Airport.
As far as I can see, there is really no way out except for people get really tired and, you know, maybe they go back to school. It's kind of like a war of attrition right now.
Also ahead, the U.S. holds off on tariffs against Chinese goods for now. Members of Congress call for more action on gun control laws. Hypersonic missiles pose an increasing threat. Facial recognition software is helping people in wheelchairs. And an opera superstar faces sexual harassment allegations. That's all on today's International Edition. Thanks for being with us. Hong Kong's airport has reopened after riot police clashed with pro-democracy demonstrators Tuesday evening. That followed a second straight day of canceled flights. The airport protests over the past 2 days are part of 10 weeks of demonstrations by Hong Kong residents against their perceived erosion of freedom and lack of autonomy under Chinese control of the territory. My colleague Ira Melman spoke with reporter Aaron Hale in Hong Kong about the protests, the clashes with police, and any possible intervention by Beijing.
As I understand it, protesters first discovered that there was an undercover officer amongst them, and it got very heated with them yelling at them. And then at some point, they also discovered that one amongst them was a Global Times reporter, which is, of course, the state news outlet for China, and they were very upset by that. So there was a lot of yelling at these people. And then sometime after 11, about a dozen police officers came in the usual uniform, in the blue uniform, and they stood on the sort of near the entrance, and they were shouted down by protesters, and they retreated. And then about an hour later, maybe half an hour later, riot police suddenly showed up, and it was very, very intense, very fast. And they came in and they took out the officer, and they also, at some time after that, medics took away the Global Times reporter, and then things calmed down, and most people are leaving. And the SCMP is reporting that an injunction has been issued against the protesters, although they haven't cited their sources.
And what do you expect to happen as far as that's concerned? Do you expect the protest to go on?
Well, that now means that the police do have grounds to enter and remove people. So that's a pretty big warning to the protesters. I initially thought riot police might come back tonight. A lot of people say no. There's still a lot of passengers in the airport. Most of the protesters have left, but it looks like a lot of flights are still coming in right now.
How dangerous is this? I mean, you've been in Hong Kong for a while now. Have you ever seen anything like this before?
I mean, we're in unknown territory. I was here during the Umbrella Movement, and that had some violent skirmishes, but that was pretty peaceful. This is something entirely, especially on Sunday, with police really getting increasingly angry and just violent with protesters, and very quick to draw sort of unrestrained force. I think they're kind of going past what their guidelines are. You know, they fired at protesters when they clearly weren't being threatened. And so it's really getting quite intense here.
What is the overall feeling in Hong Kong? Is there great support for the protest, or is that switching as you can see it?
I think a lot of people don't support all the tactics of the protesters, and they'll be very quick to say that, especially when they throw bricks at police officers and they throw, you know, they've lit stuff on fire by them. But overall, I think the public has actually turned against the police because they've seen, you know, their children getting hurt and they're seeing their grandchildren getting hurt. I think, you know, violence from police officers is not something that people really expect en masse in Hong Kong, and this has really come to shock people.
Do you see any way out?
Unless, you know, Carrie Lam, actually, the leader, actually, you know, meets one or two of their demands, like withdrawing the bill permanently. And I think starting an independent commission into police violence would really go a long way. But the police unions apparently are blocking that. So as far as I can see, there is really no way out except for people get really tired and, you know, maybe then they go back to school. It's kind of like a war of attrition right now.
What's the position, or what are the actions, if you know, and you might not, of both China and then the triads, which beat people up a few weeks ago?
There is, it hasn't been fully proven, but people do think that the triads would come out and beat protesters on September 21st, and the police did not reply to 911 calls when that happened. So there's belief that there is some collusion there. And then similar people were seen this weekend beating up reporters. And now the conspiracy theory is that we have these pro-China triad people working behest of Beijing. But, you know, this is all conspiracy theories. It could be true, but maybe there's a grain of truth, but it's really hard to say.
And what has this done to Hong Kong in your mind? Hong Kong has been known as being peaceful, being successful, a great place for business. What has this done?
I think it's really changed what people think of the city. You know, we've seen unprecedented levels of violence. The UN issued a statement today about police tactics and brutality. And, you know, its reputation is as one of the most stable cities in Asia and as a financial hub. And I think that is probably permanently changed. I think a lot of people are actually impressed with the protesters and how organized they are. But everyone's very worried that we could see, you know, 1989 again.
What's the other side of the story, if there is one? Have you considered that? Is there support for Carrie Lam? Is there support for Beijing?
Certainly in the business community, there is support for both Beijing and for Carrie Lam. Whether or not they've been pushed that way to say that is uncertain. But I would say that probably wealthier sectors of Hong Kong society are unhappy with this, and they just want to kind of get on with big business. And there's probably a lot of ordinary people as well who, you know, think these kids are annoying and should just go home.
That's my colleague Ira Millman talking with reporter Aaron Hale in Hong Kong. On Tuesday, President Donald Trump said that he hopes the situation there resolves peacefully.
It's a very tricky situation. I think it'll work out, and I hope it works out for liberty. I hope it works out for everybody, including China. I hope it works out peacefully. Hope nobody gets hurt. I hope nobody gets killed.
News reports from Hong Kong say that flights appeared to be taking off overnight, and hundreds more are scheduled to depart throughout today, though many are delayed. One reporter said check-ins were operating normally, and only a handful of protesters remained. As Aaron mentioned to Ira, the UN High Commissioner for Human Rights, Michelle Bachelet, called for an investigation into what she says is the use of banned tactics by Hong Kong police to quell anti-government demonstrations. Lisa Schlein has more from the High Commissioner's office in Geneva.
Human Rights Chief Michelle Bachelet is voicing concern about the escalating violence in Hong Kong and worries about it spiraling out of control. She is urging protesters to express their grievances peacefully and not to resort to violence or the destruction of property. Bachelet, however, is urging Hong Kong authorities to refrain from hard-nosed tactics that violate people's rights of freedom of expression and peaceful assembly, and which are likely to cause civilian casualties. Her spokesman, Rupert Colville, says the High Commissioner is alarmed by the methods used by the security forces that are both dangerous and forbidden.
OHHR has reviewed credible evidence of law enforcement officials employing less lethal weapons in ways that are prohibited by international norms and standards. For example, officials can be seen firing tear gas canisters into crowded enclosed areas and directly at individual protesters on multiple occasions, creating a considerable risk of death or serious injury.
Colville says there are clear guidelines on how supposed non-lethal weapons such as tear gas, batons, and rubber bullets should be used.
Law enforcement officials should only employ tear gas to disperse crowds as a last resort when widespread violence creates an imminent threat of serious injury or damage to property. And in this situation, the canisters must be fired at a high angle to create indirect fire.
The UN Human Rights Office is calling on Hong Kong authorities to investigate these incidents immediately and ensure security personnel comply with the rules of engagement. It warns excessive use of force will only inflame tensions and worsen the situation. Rights Chief Bachelet is also urging all sides to resolve the situation through calm, meaningful dialogue. Lisa Schlein for VOA News, Geneva.
These are some of the top stories you'll find right now on voanews.com. Chinese authorities ramp up rhetoric against Hong Kong protests. Promoting resorts in Indonesia, Trump Jr. dismisses allegations of conflicts of interest. Cameroon journalists threatened by government. Unknown gunmen target Loop Haiti journalist. States and conservationists to sue to stop changes to Endangered Species Act. Expanded coverage of these stories and more is on the voanews.com website. Thanks for being with us on this Wednesday. I'm David Byrd in Washington. The United States on Tuesday said it is delaying a new 10% tariff on some key Chinese imported consumer products that President Donald Trump had been set to impose September 1st. The Office of the U.S. Trade Representative said the levies on laptop computers and computer monitors, cell phones, video game consoles, toys, shoes, and clothing would be delayed until December 15th. President Trump said that could be a cost-saving benefit to U.S. consumers who often give such products to family members and friends over the holiday season.
And we're doing this for Christmas season, just in case some of the tariffs would have an impact on U.S. customers, which so far they've had virtually none. The only impact has been that we've collected almost $60 billion from China, compliments of China. But just in case they might have an impact on people, what we've done is we've delayed it so that they won't be relevant for the Christmas shopping season.
In addition, the U.S. said it is exempting tariffs altogether on a separate group of Chinese imports based on health, safety, national security, and other factors. But the new tariff will still be imposed on a wide range of other Chinese goods, with the list of affected products to be announced soon. Over a two-year period, President Trump has sent or is promising to pay U.S. farmers more than $26 billion in government aid to compensate them for losses they have sustained since China ended its purchase of American grains and other products. Trump said Tuesday he believes that Beijing is willing to make a deal.
We had a very good talk yesterday with China, a very, very productive call. I think they want to do something. I think they'd like to do something dramatic. I was not sure whether or not they wanted to wait until a Democrat has a chance to get in. Hopefully that's not going to happen because the economy will go to hell in a handbasket very fast. But they really would like to make a deal.
Despite the president's claims, it is U.S. importers who pay tariffs, not exporters like China. And the American corporations often include the cost of the levies in the price of the goods that they sell to other businesses and to consumers. A Treasury report said U.S. businesses have paid more than $50 billion in tariffs on products from throughout the world, not just China, in the first 9 months of the government's current fiscal year. To date, Trump has imposed 25% tariffs on $250 billion worth of Chinese exports and said he planned to add a 10% tariff next month on another $300 billion worth of Chinese products entering the U.S. If he had imposed the new tariff in full, virtually all Chinese goods entering the United States would have been taxed. Trade negotiations between the world's two largest economies have been contentious, with Washington and Beijing unable to reach an agreement. U.S. Trade Representative Robert Lighthizer and Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin talked with Chinese Vice Premier Liu He on Tuesday and agreed to another call in 2 weeks, but there was no announcement on any movement toward an accord. Democrats are pressing Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell to take action on curbing guns, fueled by public outrage over this month's mass killings in Texas and Ohio. Number 2 House Democrat Steny Hoyer and other Democrats held a news conference to call on McConnell to let his chamber vote on a House-passed measure requiring background checks for nearly all gun purchases. Hoyer said McConnell needs to act, not delay.
5 months ago, on February 27, 2019, the House of Representatives passed a bill, H.R. 8, a bill that is supported by over 95% of Americans. Passed the House of Representatives and sent to the United States Senate, where, sadly, it languished.
The recent mass shootings in El Paso, Texas, and Dayton, Ohio, have revived calls for more to be done about guns in the United States. Hoyer said that the House has done its part and now the Senate needs to move.
The answer, my fellow citizens, is in the United States Senate, and the courage to summon up Senator McConnell, the willingness to put one small answer on the floor.
Wendy Edmonds, whose sister Sylvia Frazier was killed in the Washington Navy Yard mass shooting in 2013, said that Majority Leader McConnell needs to do what is best for the American people, not the gun lobby or his own political ambitions.
At what point are you outraged, Senate Leader McConnell? When will you be moved beyond following such a toxic decision to remain silent on legislation passed by the House in February? When will you invigorate a courageous move and bring H.R. 8 to the floor?
It was not clear what, if any, impact the Democrats' moves would have on the Capitol's top Republicans. For his part, President Trump said in Pennsylvania that he has spoken to Mitch McConnell and is optimistic something will change.
Spoken to Mitch McConnell. He's a good man. He wants to do something. He wants to do it, I think, very strongly. He wants to do background checks, and I do too, and I think a lot of Republicans do.
Both the president and Leader McConnell have expressed a new openness to unspecified gun curbs following the recent back-to-back mass shootings. But their decisions will be based on the sentiment of fellow Republicans, not predictable pressure by Democrats. Congress is currently on recess. Last week, McConnell rejected attempts to get him to bring the Senate back early from vacation, saying that he would be willing to look at possible gun legislation once the Senate returns to the Capitol next month. The nonprofit Gun Violence Archives reports that as of Tuesday, there have been 257 mass shootings in the United States this year. The total number of Americans who have died from all types of gun violence since January 1st is more than 9,100. Thanks for being with us on this Wednesday. I'm David Byrd in Washington. New missile technologies, including so-called hypersonic systems capable of traveling at more than 25 times the speed of sound, are fueling a new global arms race, according to a new report. The research warns that the collapse of the Intermediate-Range Nuclear Forces Treaty between the United States and Russia last month is just the latest example of the growing pressure on the global security architecture, and new treaties are urgently needed to counter the threat of emerging technologies. Henry Ridgewell has more.
Russia conducted a test flight of its avant-garde hypersonic missile system December last year. Moscow claims it travels at over 11,000 kilometers per hour and is able to evade defense systems, as this Russian Defense Ministry animation shows. The system, known as a hypersonic glide vehicle, would be able to carry nuclear and conventional payloads. Russia says the avant-garde is now under serial production. The United States, China, and Australia are also developing their own systems, says report author Katarzyna Kubiak of analyst group the European Leadership Network.
These are going to outmatch existing missile systems by speed and by maneuverability, and are going to potentially be able to bypass any existing air and missile defense systems for years to come. And on top of this, we also witness an exploration in anti-satellite technologies, which include missiles.
The development of dual-capable missiles capable of carrying conventional or nuclear warheads has introduced a new level of ambiguity and the potential for devastating miscalculation.
So in the crisis situation, the military is acting under very heavy pressure, and not knowing what kind of missile is flying into them, they might either assume the worst-case scenario or misjudge a situation, which could then lead to an inadvertent escalation.
The failed test of a missile in the Russian Arctic earlier this month killed at least five workers and led to a spike in local radiation levels, underlining global concerns over Moscow's development of nuclear-propelled missiles. Kubiak says the global security architecture surrounding missile proliferation is under huge strain and is being rapidly outpaced by developing technology.
The already very complex security calculus is going to be even harder. So an unbound missile proliferation will aggravate interstate competition. It's going to increase costs of maintaining regional and global stability. It's going to increase the costs and the risks of military encounters.
The report says the international community urgently needs to put missiles high on the political agenda, including the strengthening of existing non-proliferation and transparency measures and negotiating treaties to address new missile technologies. Henry Ridgewell for VOA News.
Coming up, facial recognition technology is helping people in wheelchairs, and a world-renowned opera star faces sexual harassment charges. You're listening to International Edition. This is VOA.
Hi, I'm Larry London, and I'm the host of Border Crossings, inviting you to join me for one of the best hours of request music possible on the radio. We've got all your favorite songs by your favorite singers. You tell us what to play. It's requests and dedications, and it happens every weekday right here on The Voice of America.
Hello, I'm Carol Castiel, host of Press Conference USA, VOA's newsmaker interview program. Join us each Saturday and Sunday when we talk with authors, analysts, and policymakers who provide fresh insight on topics ranging from U.S. politics and foreign policy to science, culture, and global health. That's Press Conference USA every Saturday and Sunday on The Voice of America.
This is VOA's International Edition. I'm David Byrd in Washington. Coming up, a Grammy-winning singer faces sexual harassment charges. But first, people confined to wheelchairs now have an AI ally to help them navigate the world. VOA's Tina Trin reports from New York that the Wheelie uses facial recognition software to help people control their wheelchairs.
Certain expressions can be quite moving, while others can literally move you. That's the case with Wheelie, a software and hardware kit that lets users control their wheelchair using various facial expressions.
Quadriplegics, people diagnosed with ALS, or anyone who cannot control a motorized wheelchair with the hands can control using facial expressions like a kiss, a smile, a raised eyebrow.
Developed by Brazilian startup Hubox Robotics, the $300 a month service uses an Intel RealSense depth camera to capture points on a user's face.
The software is very, very precise to capture the landmarks around the mouth, the eyes, the eyebrows.
An onboard computer generates a 3D map of the face, recognizing up to 11 different expressions.
The technology works regardless of the position of the head. You can put the camera over here, so you don't have to have a camera like this.
It's a small degree of freedom for users who don't always get to experience it. Jim Ryan is a quadriplegic who normally uses a head array to control his wheelchair.
The best part is I could turn my head to left and right. I'm really locked in with my halo around my head. So that made a huge, huge difference.
Even minute facial cues can quickly be interpreted, seconds before a full-on expression. That precision translates to real-time navigation via a robotic gripper that controls the wheelchair's joystick. But some worry the technology might not be practical.
Facial expressions can be involuntary at times. You're walking down the street, you see maybe an ad that makes you laugh, and you smile at it.
It might take some getting used to, but Pinheiro believes what users gain in terms of self-sufficiency is meaningful.
This is something that the wheel is bringing, not only mobility, but especially autonomy and self-esteem.
Giving those who can't get around as easily a reason to smile. Tina Trin, VOA News, New York.
Celebrated opera singer Plácido Domingo has been accused of sexually harassing several women during the last few decades. trying to pressure them into sexual relationships or sometimes torpedoing their careers if they refused him. 8 singers and 1 dancer have leveled the accusations against Domingo, according to the Associated Press. Jocelyn Gecker is a reporter with the AP.
The AP has interviewed 9 women in the opera world who say that opera star Placido Domingo used his power and prominence to try to pressure women into sexual relationships. There are among dozens of people in the opera world who were interviewed who say that this behavior was an open secret for decades.
Regarded as one of the greatest opera singers of all time, Domingo is also a prolific conductor and the director of the Los Angeles Opera. The multiple Grammy winner is an immensely respected figure in his rarefied world. Described by colleagues as a man of prodigious charm and energy who works tirelessly to promote his art form. One accuser said Domingo stuck his hand down her skirt. 3 others said he forced kisses on them in a dressing room, a hotel room, and at a lunch meeting. AP's Jocelyn Gecker said that the accusers all said the tenor followed a similar pattern.
He would express interest in their careers and helping their careers. And he would ask them to come meet him privately, to come sing for him, to sing an aria for him, often at his apartment or his hotel room. And the women described a feeling of being in a very precarious situation where they didn't want to say yes to these overtures, but they didn't feel that they could say no, given his position of power.
Only one of the accusers, mezzo-soprano Patricia Wolf, agreed to be named. Wolf says that when they worked together at the Washington Opera, Domingo, who was also artistic director of the company, would often pressure her for sex.
I would exit stage left and after our scene, and I would come off stage left, and if Placido was in the house, he would be in the wings waiting for me, and he would come up to me this close. And he would say, Patricia, do you have to go home tonight? And it was arresting. It was very difficult.
Patricia Wolf also said that she would rebuff Domingo's advances, but often wondered if she hurt her operatic career by doing so.
He's almost like God in my business. He was. When he would come up that close and say that, the first thing that goes through your mind is what? And then, you know, you're furious. And then you think very quickly, well, yes, of course I have to go home. And I said that all the time. Yes, I have to go home. But you also think, as soon as you walk away and get away, you think, did I just ruin my career?
Placido Domingo issued a statement in which he said the allegations from these unnamed individuals dating back as many as 30 years are deeply troubling and, as presented, inaccurate. The statement went on that Domingo believed that all of my interactions and relationships were always welcomed and consensual. The 7-time Grammy Award winner added, people who know me or who have worked with me know that I am not someone who would intentionally harm, offend, or embarrass anyone. However, I recognize that the rules and standards by which we are and should be measured against today are very different than they were in the past. On Tuesday, the Philadelphia Orchestra and San Francisco Opera both announced they would cancel upcoming performances featuring Domingo. New York's Metropolitan Opera said that it would await the results of the L.A. Opera's investigation before making any final decisions about Mr. Domingo's future at the Met, where he is scheduled to appear next month. Thanks for being with us. You can always find more on these stories by visiting our website, voanews.com. Our thanks also to our director, that's Tracy Carter, and to our engineer, Carl Starling. And I'm David Byrd in Washington. Enjoy the rest of your day.
This is